First of all, I want to thank God for being here. Good afternoon, everybody. Once again, my name is Charlie Davis. If you want to put a title on this, the steps of a good man is ordered by God.
Amen.
That don't mean you follow him. He ordered them. He ordered them from the beginning of time. It just took some of us 30 to 40 years to get in step with him. I promised some folks that I wasn't going to sing. I'm not. However, God did put a song on my heart.
Come on now. Come on now.
What's the Lord? What's the Lord?
Come on.
A boy was born in Hard Time, Mississippi, surrounded by four walls that was not pretty. His parents gave him love and affection to keep him strong and moving in the right direction. I didn't sing it, but there is a song. That's my story. We came to Fort Wayne in 1966 on the back of a U-Haul, me and my eight sisters and brothers. 600 and some miles, 50 miles an hour. Wasn't 69, it wasn't 66, it wasn't these fancy highways today. It was rough. We had to eat in the back of the truck. They had to pull over and let us use the bathroom. It took us probably all day. What do y'all say, all day? 15, 18 hours. When I was 30, I started doing drugs. Until I was 45. Unchecked, didn't think I had a problem. You had a problem for thinking I had a problem. On March the 23rd, which was a Friday, I'm tired of this. At the time, it was my third wife. We called Salvation Army, see if I can get a place. They said, no, we ain't got no place. Saturday the 24th, I got high. The 25th, I got high. That Monday morning, I woke up and said, God, I'm tired of this. If you take this addiction from me, I'll serve you the rest of my life. Before I could get them words out of my mouth, Salvation Army called. Mr. Davis, we got a room available. You need to get here in an hour. I got there in 15 minutes. I am not so handsome, not so rich, and not so smart. If God can do it for me,
yes.
He can do it for anybody. It was one of the 10 things that had shaped my life. I've been married four times. I've had four strokes and a heart attack. That's 9 things. The 10th thing is when I decided to let God have control of my life.
Amen.
If you let God take control of your life ain't gonna get easy. I swear it ain't.
Amen.
It is not gonna get easy.
Amen.
Because right now, if God ain't controlling your life, Satan is. And if he's controlling your life, he don't have to come get you all the time. He can just look around and say, okay, I still got him. But when you let God take control of your life, Satan coming. He's coming, and he's coming hard. He's coming to people from people that you don't expect him from.
Amen.
More than likely, that person that's sleeping in the bed beside you. I've been married four times. He came toward me through some of them. I ain't gonna say it was all of their fault. I had a lot to do with it. I was a drug addict in 3 of those marriages. Drugs came first. Drug came second. It's just, I promised I wasn't going to cry. It's just a miracle that my son is still here now.
Come on.
He's still in my life.
Thank you, Lord.
I wasn't a good father to them when they was growing up. I have a son in prison doing 75 years. He called last week and said he's getting out after 20 years.
Praise God.
So.
Jesus.
If God can do these things for me, I'm not that handsome. I'm not that rich. I'm not that smart. God can take nothing and make something out of it.
Yes.
The steps of a good man is ordered by God. God do his part. Your job is to listen to him and take them steps. Because he'd been ordering your steps from the day you was born. This is to my nephews and grandsons. The best thing you can do in your life is not shoot a hoop, not run a touchdown, not hit a home run, but accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior.
Amen.
That is the best thing I can tell my nephews to do. Don't go the road I went. It was hard as I'm telling you. I've been some places that you wouldn't want to go. I've been in some dark and lonely and cold places that you wouldn't want to go. However, once I accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, I've been homeless, I've been jobless, I've been carless, I've been wifeless. I've never been mad. I've never been disgusted. This is how I live my life. I don't expect anything from anybody. I want things from people, but I don't expect it.
Yeah.
You ain't got to give me nothing. If God want me to have it, he gonna make a way for me to get it.
Amen.
I don't have a college degree. Last year, I made $55,000. I have, right now, I have a 5.5-digit bank account.
Ooh, let me have some of it.
No. I don't expect anything from anybody, and I rarely give anything to anybody. However, I do loan. I ain't got no problem loaning your money. I want it back. I said I don't expect things back, but I want things back.
Amen.
God can do it for you. He will order your steps, and your job is to listen to him. Because God and Satan is going to be talking to you at all times. The one you feed the most,
yes, sir,
is the one that's going to grow the most.
Yes, sir.
You run the streets and hang out with knuckleheads, you will be a knucklehead. Go to church, listen to your pastor and your elders, read your word, and I promise you, this ain't something somebody told me. This ain't something I heard from somebody. This is something I experienced.
Yes, sir.
God will do it for you. He promised you that he will not leave you nor forsake you. I've had 4 heart strokes, a heart attack, and 4 divorces. Those 9 things should have put me under. There are people right now, I hate to say it, that is praying for my demise. Everybody that say to your friends is not your friend.
Amen.
There's some people in your life right now, they're only in your life because they want you to fall. And they just want to be there to watch it. I guarantee you that ain't something I heard, this is something I seen. God will do it for you. All he asks is to trust, believe, and obey. It ain't that complicated. It is not that complicated. Trust, believe, and obey. I am 64 years old. I've had 4 strokes, and just about everything that was working is still working. I'm 64 now.
Come on now.
I'm just saying, I'm 64. Things that 64-year-old people can do, I can do.
Amen.
Things that 50-year-old people can do, I can do. Things that 40-year-old people can do, I still can do.
Come on.
Amen.
God has been good to me.
Yes, sir.
That was my mother's second favorite thing. Her favorite thing to say was, wow. Her second favorite thing to say was, God has been good to me. He looked down from heaven this morning, and I was on the wake-up call.
Amen.
If that ain't enough to make you shout, I don't know what to tell you. I go to bed at night thanking him and praying, God, if you take me tonight, you done enough for me. You came, you brought me out of addiction. As of Saturday, 2 days ago, I was 19 years clean. That's older than y'all, but them two. Not him. And I just want to say that Jesus died for all of us. He didn't just die for me. He died for all of us. Your job is to accept him.
Amen.
Trust and believe and obey. God will do it for you because he did it for me. I'm not that special. I'm not that handsome. I'm not that famous. Drug addiction is a terrible thing. I'm not glad I went through it, but it made me the person I am now. I wouldn't recommend it for anybody. It is not what you want to do. You will lose family, money, time, and if you ain't careful, you'll lose your life. God did it for me because I asked him and because I believed that he would. Instantly, when I said, God, take this addiction from me, it's like the weight of the world was off my shoulders. Instantly. The Salvation Army called me. My wife said, who's that calling? I said, that Salvation Army called me. They got a room for me. She said, how you know? I just asked God. You got to ask him and believe that he's going to do what you asked him to do. Don't ask God to do something for you. Then what you do is be shocked. You shocked because you asked him?
Not ready.
That's just me. I just want to thank y'all for coming. I have one favor. Can my family and church members stand? This is probably not even an eighth, maybe a sixth. I have 5 brothers and 3 sisters. I probably have 40 nieces and nephews. I probably have 30 great nieces and nephews. That's what these rascals here are. These are greats here. Yeah. I just want to thank my guy for having me come out. Some house duties we have to do. First of all, I want to thank Pastor Martin for allowing us to use his church for these meetings. Secondly, I want to thank my pastor for allowing me to get up here and not shame our church. I want to thank you guys for coming out. The food was excellent.
I got a question for you.
I got one more song to sing.
Say this.
I was born by the river in a little tent. And just like a river, I've been running ever since. Yes, sir.
When all those years of addiction, how did you hide that from your family? What was it like trying to hide it from your family? And what was it like when they found out?
Well, actually, When I was in Salvation Army, I called and told a couple of people in my family. They said, "Where you at? We ain't seen you in a couple of weeks. You go to Salvation Army, you can't talk to nobody for a couple of weeks." They said, "Where you been for the last couple of weeks? We ain't seen you." I'm in Salvation Army. They said, "What for?" I said, "Because I got a drug addict." They said, "To what?" My thing was getting high, going around my family, acting normal. They none of them had a clue. Didn't have a clue. And she only 2 years older than me. I hung out with her all the time. His brother, I had to ball him. High as a kite. High as a kite. You tell Lorenzo that. I was high as a kite when I was balling him. And him! I appreciate that. I was balling him too. Weighing him out. I was high as a kite. But it robbed me of the joy of hanging out with my nephews. I wasn't high when I was bald. I didn't really bald him that much. That rascal could go right there, boy. I think I might have played him twice. I said, "You know what? Skip this noise." He was 9 or 10 shooting and dribbling with both hands. He was tough. So y'all remember that. But yeah, it was, yes, ma'am. Say that again. I didn't do nothing. God, take this addiction from me. Instantly, I didn't crave it. I didn't even have a second thought about it. Didn't even, if you ask God for something honestly and sincere, God will do it. Say that again.
He did that for me too.
I'm telling you, he'll do it for cigarettes, crack, weed, heroin, your significant other, opioids. Yes, ma'am. You know what? I've been pondering that thought. Seriously? To me. I don't know why other people did it, but I believe I had a destructive attitude that I just didn't care about life. I don't know where that came from or how that manifested itself, but when you start doing drugs, you stop caring about your life, because everybody in this day and age knows drugs is not good for you. When you put something to your mouth and in your veins, you're trying to kill yourself. Slowly but surely, you're trying to kill yourself. And I just came to the point where, God, I'm tired of living like this. I just can't take it no more. I'm tired of being tired. I'm tired of the lies. I'm tired of this relationship I'm in, because I'm in a relationship with a woman that I'm married to that I really didn't like or love. But I needed a place to stay. I didn't want to sleep in my car. So I married her. And then when I got clean and sober, she said, "Well, we're going to stay married?" I said, "First of all, you knew I was getting high. You never told me not one time to stop doing this and it's hurting us, you, or anything. If you'd have told me that one time, I might still stay with you. But you allowed me to get high in the living room while you were sitting in the bedroom. If you'd have told me one time, stop doing this, I ain't gonna say I would have stopped, but at least told me you cared." Yeah. Yeah. I figured you didn't care a crap about me. So, any more questions?
Yeah, I got one more.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, you know, you said God take that from you too, and I believe that. But when God, I was explaining to us why you went to the Salvation Army to learn how to live.
Yes, sir.
And explain how that works.
Because when I told God to take it from me, he put it on my heart that you need to relearn how to live in the society without getting high.
Yep.
Because I had been for the last 15 years navigating through life with one thought, getting high and looking normal. I wanted to just look normal now. And when I went to Salvation Army, the first thing the jokers told me was, "Man, you got to relapse a couple of times before you really get clean." Dude, that is not what God told me. He told me, "Charlie, if you do what you say, I'm going to do what I do." And I haven't looked back. I didn't relapse. Matter of fact, they put me out. Because I went through the program quicker than I should have, so they thought I was BSing them. No, you can't get through this 6-month program in 5 months. But I'm clean. I got a job. I got an apartment. I'm ready to go. So they put me out. 19 years ago, I haven't looked back.
So technically, you didn't need salvation, Mom. You didn't need none of that. You just needed just you and God.
I was a knucklehead. I needed Salvation Army. I needed somebody to teach me how to be a regular citizen. Because for the last 15 years, I was a drug addict. And that's kind of, it's hard to get over something that you've been a part of for 15 years. Now, I got some friends that quit cold turkey and didn't look at Salvation Army, didn't go back and stay clean. Power to you. That wasn't y'all. I needed that. That was one of the things that changed my life forever. Like I say, when I called my family and told them I was in the Salvation Army, they were shocked. Didn't have a clue. Yes, sir.
What was your first 30 years like?
First 30 years. The first 8 I was in Mississippi. The next, up until I turned 13, I thought I had it bad. Then when I turned 13 to 18, I thought I had it worse. But when I look back on my life, I had food, shelter, clothes, and 2 parents that loved me. Mm-hmm. My dad was strict on me, so I thought. This is how my dad, I never heard my parents tell me they loved me. However, they showed me. And I didn't learn that until I got grown and started having kids. You ain't got to tell me nothing. You ain't never got to tell Charlie you love him. But if you show me you love me, we in there. You ain't got to never tell me you love me. Show me you love me. That's way better than telling. Because a lot of people say they love you, don't give a crap about you.
What you say?
It's hard to show somebody you love them and fake at it.
Yeah.
You keep buying me food, shelter, and clothes, dog, you love me. you ain't faking at that.
Yeah.
My dad told us we could stay with him as long as we wanted to. We had to buy no food, had to pay no rent. You had to be in at 10 o'clock, though. But he never asked us for money. We could be there. You could come and stay there as long as you wanted to. Now I got a sister like that. She thinks she's my mama. But my dad and mom, like I say, they never told me they loved me. But they made me go to church. They made me take a bath. They made me go to school. School was his biggest thing. You had to go to school. And you had to go to church. And he got him with church every Sunday morning. Everybody in the house got to go. You ain't go, you wouldn't stay in his house.
I got a question.
Yes, ma'am.
When you was at the Salvation Army, did you work the 12 steps and did you do meetings and stuff like that?
No.
Okay.
Actually, that's what me and him argue. We ride around a lot. We argue all the time. Mm-hmm. What's the third step? That's why I stopped that. I figured once I done that, I'm cool with it. Now see, that's what me and him differ. He went through the whole 12. I stopped at 3. I turned my life and will over to God. He ordered my steps after that.
Okay.
Yes, ma'am. You had a question. You had your hand up.
The third step.
Turn your will and your life
over to the care of God as I have to do it.
Yes, sir. Once you turn your life over to God, everything else is a wrap. He gonna order your steps. That's me. I got kicked out of a couple of meetings. I went to the meeting. They said, "Say your name." My name is Charlie Davis. I'm a Christian. No, you're Charlie Davis, an addict. But I turned my life over to God. He cured me from that. But, you know, I've been to some meetings with him. With that's the signal. I was waiting on a signal from somebody else to tell me how long I was going. Yes, sir.
I got one question for you. Shut it down. I have a strong love and affection, and I heard you say it, but I guess this is more of a request. But could you hit it with the feeling and the soul? And I'm talking about the second song that you said.
But I can't sing.
I don't care. Just
now, you know, I do though.
just please give me that.
We got two choir. Man, I can't sing. That's why I read it. I ain't sing. You are,
man, you, done got me.
You are not going to get me up here and embarrass myself, brother. I don't care what you say.
You got me ready for that, my brother.
Terry, can you hit that for him?
All right, what? Give him a hand, everybody. Let's give him a hand. Yeah, it's fun.